There you go, darling.
Hey everybody, my name's Jeff. I'm an alcoholic. I am from Easton, Pennsylvania, in the United States. Besides being an alcoholic, I can call myself a couple other things. I like to call myself sometimes an escapeaholic. Every once in a while, I'll call myself an addict because that is part of my story, but most of the time, I just call myself an alcoholic. And sometimes I like to say that I suffer from the disease of more. That's always been my thing, with pretty much everything. Give me more of that, especially if it can help me escape this, thing called reality, right? So most of my story is, your typical I drank a hell of a lot kind of story. I drank for about 20 years. My first drink was in, I was a freshman in high school. I was across the street at my friend Beth's house, and we were hanging out down in her basement, and her parents had a liquor cabinet down there. And I said, "Oh, what's in there?" And I forget what the hell I drank, but I remember I liked the feeling. It felt warm, it felt good. And I pretty much suffered from very, that I still do, low self-esteem and insecurity and anxiety in social situations. And I like the way it made me feel. It made me feel calm. And then bonus, because I was so used to getting, and fearing negative attention. Her and I went to a we belonged to this club called 4-H, and that's like an American like thing, a farmer's whatever. But there was, for young people, they had this thing called the senior council, and I joined up. And I was sitting in this room with, like, I don't know, like 20, 30 other kids. And, people noticed, like, people sitting near me was like, "What's that smell?" And they looked at me and they knew. And, people were snickering and giggling. I wasn't making an ass out of myself, but I was like, "Oh, look, positive attention." And man, I really craved that. And I drank a couple more times in high school, not for lack of want, but for lack of access. My family didn't keep alcohol in the house. I was not part of that cool, fun crowd that was invited to parties where alcohol was. I was invited to the Doritos and soda pop, kind of parties. And yeah, after high school, I couldn't believe it. I was actually invited. I want to say, yeah, it was I 19? Yeah, it was 19, or almost 19, I should say. Forgive me. My friend Ben, who lived across the street, he was a firefighter, and there was a bunch of kids that I went to high school with who were also firefighters, and I was invited to this party, like a real party where drinking was involved, and holy shit. And I walked in there and I saw a whole mess of people I went to school with. And, people were chill. Like, I had heard, like, things change after high school. People no longer give a shit about popularity and whatever. And, I was greeted with a shot of tequila with a two worms in it. And I said, "Oh, okay, here I go." And I did it. And someone gave me a beer and I took a sip. I didn't really like the taste of beer. Not yet. That came later. So I'm like, "Well, what else is there?" They're like, "Oh, we've got this this schnapps stuff." So I think I put away like half a bottle of Peachtree and something else, and I blacked the fuck out. Like, I don't even remember most of that night except for waking up on the basement floor. I don't know if I got myself down there or if they carried me or what, but yeah, I woke up on the basement floor out of a blackout, and there was a good 100 people going, "Hey, that's the guy that, ate the worm." They're like, "Holy shit." And again, it was like that positive attention I craved so much. And I made that connection, like, this is what it's all about. I have finally fucking arrived. Positive attention comes from drinking alcohol. And it was glorious. And then I blacked out again. And then when I came to again, they had my head out the back door next to another kid who was pretty drunk, and him and I were puking, and it was a good time. And I woke up the next morning with some girl's phone number in my pocket. And I was like, wow, look at this, man. It was a hell of a night. I suffered like hell. I had to go to work. I couldn't call out. And I spent most of the time in the kitchen. I worked in a deli at the time, just standing over the garbage can in the deli. And I was like, oh, man. But it didn't stop me, man. I went back for more a couple weeks later. At another house party, and it just continued like that. I had an interesting run-in with nitrous oxide. I like that shit too. My buddy Rob worked as a phlebotomist in a local hospital, and he decided he was going to throw a late graduation party for me and my friend Ray because he didn't know us when we graduated. And he snuck out a tank of nitrous oxide from the hospital and brought it home, and he connected it to like a garbage bag and filled it up with the gas, and we just passed it around like huffing, and what an amazing feeling it was. And I never felt anything. It was a different kind of feeling than alcohol, but still, like, it really just, I was just out there and not worrying about a day. I couldn't even feel myself, and it was just like so surreal. And that was such a deep escape that I desperately wanted. And I did that a couple times until, he no longer worked at the hospital. And, then came a couple more parties. And by the time I turned 21, I wanted more. I'm like, okay, now I'm actually allowed to technically do what I'm doing. And in my early 20s, I found myself with a place to drink every night, whether it was in a bar for karaoke or some sporting event, football, whatnot, at a friend's house. I was drinking every day for a long time, and I was a blackout drinker too. It wasn't just that party at the firefighter's house. That became a regular thing for me. I blacked out two, three times a week at least, or I passed out. It was never by my choice. Once I got that shit in me, and this is what I mean by I suffer from the disease of more. Once it gets in me, I just want more. And I don't care what it is. Weed wasn't really my thing, but if it was around, I would do it. And, I would smoked that until I was freaking obliterated. That was just my pattern, and I thought nothing of it. Because the funny thing is, it's like when I surrounded myself by other people who drank and did weed and pop pills and whatever the hell else was around, like I did, it was normal and it was acceptable, and no one questioned it, and I didn't question it. Fast forward to I was about 25. I met a girl. She was a waitress at an IHOP. It's a pancake house, popular here in America for those not familiar with the name. And her name was Mary, and we had so much in common, and it was awesome. And we had a pregnancy scare. And I said, oh shit. It turns out she wasn't pregnant that time. But I was like, wow, I think I'm gonna marry this girl. So we got engaged, and we married in November of 1999. And a couple of years later, we had a kid. And this was a very, very toxic relationship that I never should have gotten involved in, but that's just how it went. I spent quite a few months, 5 or 6 months at least, not drinking, and she had never seen me drunk. And one day she just commented, hey, I've never seen you drunk, because I used to tell her stories about all the crazy shit we used to do, me and my friends, and She was just interested. She wanted to see me drunk, so she, brought me home some alcohol, and then, by that time I was into beer, and I just drinking beer, and I got drunk, and she was deeply amused, and then it became, that was back in my life. I was popping pills at that point, because she was a night owl, and she liked to keep me up late, and I had to be to work 7 o'clock in the morning, and there were times when I'd go into work like literally with an hour's sleep, and I drove for an auto parts store, and I needed something to keep me awake, so I couldn't believe it, but I got hooked on caffeine pills. Like, I got addicted to that rush, and I'm told I never touched anything harder than pills before. I was never into like pills and weed. I never went any harder than that. No heroin, no nothing like that. Just I wasn't interested. But that feeling, that rush, that high, like I was told that I would have been, into speed and meth, because, I just loved that. My mind, even though it was racing a million miles an hour with thoughts, it felt right to me. And that was a toxic relationship. We wound up having a son together, and I feel bad because him and the daughter she already had when we met, they heard and witnessed some terrible fighting between the two of us. It got physical sometimes. She'd hit me, I'd try to hold her back, and it was just, I would go to work with black eyes and, scratches all up and down my arms. She had a hell of a temper. And I used to try and say, oh yeah, I had to break up a bar fight, and I was so ashamed of the life I was living. And because of that deep depression and anxiety and just feeling like a fucking loser failure, of a husband, of a father, I sunk deeper into my booze. I sunk deeper into my pills, and even though I didn't really, it wasn't really helping me, but I still tried to escape. I didn't want to deal. I couldn't deal. I wasn't mature enough. I wasn't with it enough. I was just suffering depression and not caring whether I lived or died. And in 2003, we wound up separating. And I just, that's when I was introduced to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in 2003. Because I had stayed up for days, and with help from the pills and whatever, and I was out of my fucking mind, just depressed and just, failed marriage, failed everything, behind on all the bills, you name it, I was having the problems. And I had to go to the supermarket, and I was up all night, and I was driving around thinking that my wife had moved on from me, and I got this idea in my head. She was into this one guy she worked with, and I had no idea where he lived. I just knew his name. And I was driving around thinking to myself, before I go to the supermarket and do the shopping, I think I'm going to go get myself a gun and find this dude's house and shoot him. And that's crazy. I'd never, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm thinking all this shit through. And I'm standing in the supermarket staring at Ensure because, like, I wasn't eating either. It was, I was pretty gaunt. And I got dizzy and I fell over, and the ambulance came for me, and they brought me to the hospital. And I admitted to the people in the ER that I was having a lot of mental instability issues, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to live or die. I didn't care either way. So they sent me to a place called Carrier Clinic in New Jersey, and I went in there, and
initially I thought I was just going in because, having a nervous breakdown or whatever the hell it was. And during the intake exam, they were asking me questions about my drug and alcohol use. Not thinking anything of it, not really thinking I had a problem. I was completely 100% honest. And they're like, we've got this dual diagnosis program. I said, well, let me think it over. So they just put me in the regular, room, group with people who are just having mental and emotional problems. But we got to co-mingle with the people in the dual diagnosis program. And I was talking with them, and a lot of what they were telling me with their stories sounded very eerily similar to mine. And I, that seed was planted. I go, well, you know what? Maybe. And AA and NA would switch on and off every other night. AA would bring a meeting, and then the next night it was NA. And I wound up going into those meetings, and then I was like, okay, you know what? I talked to my counselor and I said, you know what? I'm identifying with these people. Maybe I do have a problem. So I was in that place for a few weeks, and when I got out, I took the suggestion to, as soon as I got out, find a meeting, go to an AA meeting. And here's the funny thing about that place. I felt so safe because I was in there and all my fucking problems were out there and I didn't have to deal with them. I was just told, hey, concentrate on your recovery. So I got out. My parents got my old bedroom ready for me because I had no money, no nothing. All my money was going to my ex at that point. And a few months went by. We were talking. I was coming over to see my son and her daughter, who she had with another person when I met. I'm sorry, I completely forgot to mention her. But yeah, her daughter had said something to me, and you know what? She was I didn't make any distinction. Like, I thought of her as my daughter, And she started telling me that, mommy was saying these things about me. And then she started saying those things about me. And I said, wow, and like if I wasn't low enough, that was it. I decided that everyone would be better off without me. And I wound up disappearing for a few years, not making any phone calls, not doing anything because, I hated myself and I really did believe that people didn't need me. I spent 2 months in AA because I didn't really want to quit drinking. I thought I just needed to dry out, start eating, period. I weighed 129 pounds. It's 6 foot tall. And yeah, I kind of looked like a skeleton that forgot to lay down and die. I was in bad shape. So 2 months in the rooms of AA, just saying, whatever. I dried out. Let me go back to it. I miss the culture. And let me tell you something, the bar culture, it's a lifestyle. Like for me, drinking is a lifestyle. Like things go with it. Smoking cigarettes, hanging out, listening to music, sitting in a smoky bar because we could smoke in bars back then. So I went to it and I tried to, I went looking for my old friends and I found them and I got my pre-marriage life back. And every fucking day I felt guilty and I thought about the kids and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I just spiraled further. I'm like, well, I can't go back now. Now they really hate me. I dug myself a hell of a hole. And then we were separated for a good 2 years, and then I had to go to court. I was paying child support, no problem there. I was paying alimony, no problem there. But then it came down to like, okay, I had to sell my old townhouse to her and, make some agreements on credit card payments, all this shit, right? And I saw her again, and we started talking again. And lo and behold, my dumb ass got back together with her again. And it was another,
But like I want to say like yeah, like 4 to 6 more years of hell and another child, another son. And November 3rd, 2010, her and I got into another awful fight. She threw a giant stapler at my head, a big, hole puncher, this big fucking heavy hole puncher she threw at my head, and I ducked it. And I came towards her, and she said, if you take another step closer, I'm going to call the cops. And I just fucking snapped because it's like, okay, you can beat the hell out of me and do all this. And, it's not okay for me to defend myself. I headbutted her, and I said, go ahead and call the cops, but I'm driving myself down there. And that's exactly what I did. I drove to the police station and I turned myself in, and they released me on my own accord. Child services were called, and I told them, listen, I don't feel safe right now. Could you please drive me to the hospital? And they did. And it was like, I come full circle. This second marriage to the same woman ended the exact same way it did the first time. I went back to the hospital, back to Carrier Clinic, and this time I was fucking convinced that there was a connection between all of my problems and the fact that I just could not stop using substances. It was at least half my problem. The other half was, my mental health absolutely was. But it's a real funny thing, when you're drinking alcohol, you're not taking antidepressants because you're putting a depressant on top of an antidepressant. It's kind of fucking pointless. And I didn't like the fact that, people were telling me to stop drinking because, I didn't have any plans for that. Even though I knew I probably did have a problem, I looked at it, this is my crutch, and I'm thinking to myself, if I stop drinking and popping pills, what the hell am I going to use to keep myself up? And I found that answer in the rooms of AA. So I was mandated to anger management because of the physical altercation with my wife. And the courts wanted me to go to AA and then, take care of myself. So I did, but it wasn't just because I was told to this time. This time I was remembering from that first time in AA, and I'm like, wow, why didn't I get it then? Why wasn't I ready? And I felt ready this time. So I found this wonderful group of people in a late night meeting from 11 to midnight.
So yeah, I found this wonderful group, at 11 to midnight. I don't know, for me, the late night, because I decided something. It made sense to me that if my life was all about being up late drinking, you know what? I can make my life at those hours be all about sobriety, And I treated it kind of like college. Like this was my sobriety and learning how to live life without drugs and alcohol 101 program. And I dove into that shit. Like 90 meetings in 90 days, I at least doubled that. I really got into it. And there was no turning back. Finally, after I blew it off, burst, I was all about it. So my sobriety date is November 3rd, 2010. And now I've got about 13 years and roughly 4 months, a little more maybe. I suck at math, don't mind me. I've learned a lot over all this time that I've truly been sober. I've learned that I can look back and see patterns. I can look back in my history and say, I am not a person who can drink safely. I've had thoughts of drinking over the years. I've had the thoughts like, oh, it's been a long time. I haven't had a drink. And I remind myself, go back in your history, Jeff. Think about those patterns. You suffer from the disease of more. And these are the conversations, I need to be having with myself every once in a while. Because I am. I have to remember, I am not a person who can drink safely. It's just that simple. And I'm not someone who could do this shit alone. This is why I stay connected to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I need to be around people who understand me. Furthermore, I'm connected very deeply now to the secular community, because not only does the secular community understand my disease or whatever you want to call it, you understand that I've got a drug and alcohol problem. You also understand that, I'm not comfortable in traditional rooms. Those places were fucking scary, even though my home group, and I still call it my home group, very laid back. I tried other meetings and they just, I did not feel welcome. I didn't like people using absolute terminologies. I did not like them telling me, you must get God or die drunk, and like, don't use the fire and brimstone shit on me. It's not gonna work, man. And like, I was kind of living proof. I've always been an atheist. Like, look at me. I got sober without needing a belief in a God or a higher power. And it didn't even fucking matter to me. It's like, I'm not one of those atheists that run around, I'm not allergic to the word God. I believe anybody can think what they want as long as they don't insist that I do as they do. And those were the issues that, I ran into in the mainstream rooms of AA. So I had to pick my meetings wisely. And it was basically, at one point there was three late night meetings, and a couple of them don't exist anymore. So now it's down to one. And it's the only in-person mainstream meeting I go to these days. And all the rest of them are on Zoom in secular. So yeah, I'm really happy this community's around, because you make me feel welcome and you make me feel sane. And aside from all that belief, non-belief stuff, you just get me. You understand, at least in my opinion, most people in these secular rooms get that it's not just about drinking. To me, the mental health issues, everything, it's all connected. I like to say that I don't believe in outside issues. I respect the rooms I'm in, and I'll never disrespect those rooms. But for me, it's all connected. That is my personal experience. So, and I don't know if there's anything else I want to say. You know what? I've been going on long enough time here. And forgive my babbling and fast forwarding and rewinding with my story. And that's enough out of me. Thanks for letting me share.